Well, good evening. Great to see you tonight. Let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Trust you've had a great day. Great to be in church. Good to be with missionaries. Folks that are willing to serve the Lord in places where a lot of folks do not want to go and do what a lot of folks do not want to do. June and I have really, I mentioned last night, enjoyed serving the Lord together. We still appreciate the fact that we can still go. We're still kicking. We're just not kicking as high as we used to. The problem is that this getting old is getting old. Some of you know what I mean. It's amazing the things you do when you get older. I used to laugh about things that older people did. And the Bible says you reap what you sow. Now I get laughed at about what I do. And we just do some crazy things. We were in a meeting in Pennsylvania some time ago, and we got home from the motel after the service one night, and June said, "Oh, I lost an earring." And we looked all over the room, went out and checked in the car, backtracked, and finally gave up. She came in, she took that one off, started to put it away, and she said, "Oh, there it is." Said, "I only wore one to church." That used to be funny. We have this car. It's a 2008, but it has all of these gadgets and all of the, they should not put those things on cars that they sell to older people. That just messes us up, doesn't it? You have to push a button to start it. You have to push a button to open the door. You have to push a button to lock the door. You have to push a button. All you have to have is a key in your pocket, and it's just a bunch of buttons. And we were in that same meeting, and we went to eat early, just like we do here. And they were eating in the fellowship hall, sort of like you are. And so we pulled up, parked, and June always carries a key. Because of our age, I make sure she has a key and I have a key. So we parked the car, and she started walking toward the building, and I got out. And you have these sounds. When you push the button, you know the sound if it does what you want it to do. So I pushed the door, and I knew it would not lock. So I called her. I said, "June, do you have your key? Because if you leave the key in the car, you can't lock it." She said, "I have my key." I said, "It will not lock." She came back and she said, "Oh," she said, "you need to turn the engine off." I have done that numerous times. I get out, I can't get that sound, and I've left the engine running. That is old age. That's a problem. This getting old is getting old. And so we're just glad that we're able to keep serving the Lord, keep going together. Mark chapter 2, familiar story here that we talk about and use all the time. But I want to read the first 12 verses. So in verse 1, the Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum." Capernaum was sort of his adopted hometown. He was there all the time. This same story is given to us in Matthew chapter 8. And in that portion, he heals the leper, and he heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He calms the storm. So as he gets into Capernaum, he's come from performing a lot of miracles, doing a lot of things that causes the crowd to follow him. So he comes to Capernaum, after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as above the about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, and which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Father, we ask that you would bless now as we take a look at this section of Scripture. We again tonight ask you to open it up to us. God, I pray that you would honor the faithfulness of these folks. They're here to hear from you. I pray that you would give them something that would benefit them greatly in their relationship with you. That tonight they would see something in your word that would draw them to a step of maturity and a greater desire to be everything you want them to be. Bless us tonight with your presence. Help us to be very aware of your presence and your power tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I want you to see something in this, and what I'm going to do is try to do something to sort of set this in our minds. If I could get five men to come up and help me real quick. Five men. Okay? Got them. Okay? Brother Gilbert, why don't you come up here? Why don't the rest of you just stand right down there? Now, I want you to see how Jesus talked about what was happening here. Four men, and the story's about four men that brought their friend to Christ. Now, notice what Jesus said, because we see in this section a faith that produces something. Think about it. A faith that causes action. And notice how he described it. Look with me again, and you might want to mark these pronouns as we go through here. Let's look at verse 3. He says, and they come, well, verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as above, about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And, now circle this, and they, he's talking about the four men, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw, circle it, their faith. When he saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, we know that he had to have faith. Their faith's not going to save him. There has to be personal faith, personal repentance. But in this section, the emphasis is not on his faith. It's on their faith. And he says, the reason you're saved, the reason your sins are forgiven, is because of their faith. What they did. What they did caused me to be able to work in your life. Thank you, fellas. And I want us to see tonight how important it is for us to do what we're supposed to do in order for God to do what he wants to do. And he places an extreme importance upon the faith of those that are involved in getting others to Christ. Their faith. What causes someone to get involved in getting someone to Christ? What moves a person? What puts in them the sacrifice that we heard about tonight? What puts in us that desire, that motivation? It's faith in God. We talk a lot about it, but we do less about it than we talk. What caused these men to do what they did that permitted Christ to do what he did? Let me give you some thoughts about it. First of all, their faith caused them to believe that Jesus would do something in this person's life if they got him to Christ. They believed that Christ would do something if they got him there. How much do you and I really believe that God wants to save people? How much do we really believe that if we get someone to Christ, he'll help them? He'll do something. Well, the proof's in the pudding, isn't it? The proof's in our action. If we have the faith that the Bible wants us to have, that God wants to put in us, if we have that faith, then we will find ourselves doing something about it. Why are these missionaries going to these places that they're going to? Why are they leaving churches like this that they love, their home churches? Why are they leaving family? Why are they leaving America and the comforts of America compared to where they're going? Why are they going? They believe that Jesus will do something for people if they just get those people to him. They believe that. And you and I can see their faith in their actions. They are moving, not because it's necessarily going to be a comfortable place. Where they're going, possibly the people don't even want them there. Possibly the people do not even like them because they're Americans in our day. And yet they're going not because of what the people think, but of what Jesus will do if they get the message to the people and get the people to Jesus. What I'm saying is this: that faith causes us to do something. And you and I can look at ourselves and examine ourselves and see in ourselves the faith or lack of it that we have simply by examining how much we're involved in getting people. And that's what this week's about, isn't it? This week is about getting people to Christ. You don't have these missionaries here so they can entertain you. You don't have them here so you can build a bigger missions program. You have them here because you want to get the gospel to those places. And you believe if the gospel will be taken to those places, Jesus will do something in the lives of people. And this week, how you respond to supporting missionaries, giving the faith promise, getting involved in their lives, will reveal the faith that you have. And Jesus will be able to say, hey, look at Temple Baptist Church because of their faith. Because of their faith, you're saved and you're saved and you're saved and you're saved. Doesn't mean they don't have to respond, but someone has to get the message there. Well, secondly, their faith caused them to do something. Their faith caused them to do something. We can talk about loving missions till the cows come home. That doesn't get it done. Getting involved gets it done. We can talk about this being the greatest week, and I'm sure that it is the greatest week for Temple Baptist Church. I'm sure you enjoy this week more than possibly any other week as far as meetings are concerned. But just talking about it doesn't get it done. There has to be action. Notice what James said about it, this matter of faith. James said, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Then he said, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. A dead person does nothing. A dead person has no response. A dead person is not involved. A dead person doesn't contribute. A dead person doesn't have an influence. Talk doesn't get it done. There has to be action. And these men, These men believed that if they could get them to Jesus, he would do something, and it caused them to do something. And it wasn't an easy thing. There had to be some work. They had to go beyond just getting them to him to the door. They had to go on the roof. They had to tear the roof up. They had to get him down there. They did what they needed to do to get the man to Jesus. Why? Because they had faith that he would do something if they did that. And that's what this week's about. Hey, we see it in the lives of missionaries. We see it in the lives of church members who really love missions, love the souls of people. We had a fellow in our church when I came to pastor. I pastored in Clinton, Maryland for 22 years. And right after I came to that church, they called us. And it was sort of a restart of a church in that Washington, D.C. suburbs. And church had gone down through a number of different situations. And so they called us as pastor. And after we were there for just a few months, I had this family came in. They started visiting, and the fellow came to me and said, we are really interested in becoming a part of the church. We had an old rickety bus that we were running at that time, just starting bus ministry and getting going. And he saw that, and it excited him, and people were walking the aisle and getting saved. And he said, we're interested. I'm interested in bringing my family and making them a part of the church. And so we talked about it, and they joined. And right after they joined, he got involved, and he started doing different things because he got excited about reaching people. And we had our first missions conference. And boy, we had a missionary in and just getting started with the thing and talked about supporting missionaries and reaching people around the world. And he came to me after the conference and he said, Pastor, he said, you know, I would really like to get involved in this missions thing. And he said, now what he did, he hung storm windows for Sears. You remember Sears, they still do a lot of stuff, but they used to do everything, you know, build decks and remodel kitchens and lay carpet. They did everything, but they didn't do anything. They just got the job, hired a sub, and took their part out as the money passed through, and he hung storm windows for Sears. He said, you know, he said, I think I could start a business, my own business, and build it on the Lord. Just let God build it. And I could really use it for missions. And so we prayed about it. After a couple of weeks, he had him a bunch of flyers printed up, found him a supplier of windows, started passing the flyers out, and God began to bless that business. I mean, he just started getting job after job, and God blessed, and he started giving. And there came a time in our church with that man. Now, this is this would have been 1975, 1976, to give you an idea of what it meant, what he gave. And he was tithing. He tithed off his personal income. He tithed off his business income. He gave to the bus ministry. He gave to the building program. And there came a time in that man's life when he gave $350 a week above everything else to missions. He, at that time, personally supported 30 missionaries in our church. Why? Because he believed that if he could get missionaries to get the gospel to the places where it was not preached, that Jesus would do something in people's lives. And it caused him to do something. He didn't just talk about it. He did something about it. Amen. And that's what happened. That's why Jesus was able to say, hey, those men did what they did because of their faith. And because they did what they did, you're saved. Wouldn't you like to know that God could say that all around the world about Temple Baptist Church? That's the emphasis he's placing here. Another thing we see here is that their faith moved Jesus to action. Their faith moved Jesus to action. What happened here? Well, we find that Jesus is saying to this man, I am doing in your life what I'm doing because of their faith. Because of what they did. Now think about it. Because of what they did, he was able to do what he did in his life. Now he's placing an emphasis on the people who get someone to Christ. He's placing an emphasis on the people who are doing something so folks can get. And when they get that person to Christ, then he can do what he wants to do. Now, I know there's more to it than all of that. But in this place, in this scripture, he is emphasizing the importance of the individual that does something to get people to Jesus. And he is emphasizing that he was able to do what he did because of their faith. Their faith caused Jesus to move in someone's life. Do you remember that scripture? Let me read this to you because you're familiar with it. In Psalms 126, 5 and 6, the verse 5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Now, who sows in tears and who reaps in joy? The people that reap in joy are those that sow in tears. He's saying, the one that brings someone to Christ shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. They that goeth forth bearing precious seed, they're rejoicing. They get to bring their sheaves. The emphasis placed on those that go to the field, those that bring people to Christ, those that invest in getting folks to Christ. And then lastly, their faith moved the crowd to glorify God. Notice what it says in verse 12. "And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion." Why did the crowd? Now, the crowd was questioning the whole situation just before that. Why does the crowd come to a place that they glorify God? The lost crowd? Why does this crowd come to a place that they just talk about what had been done and never seeing it like this before? Because of their faith. Because they got involved in bringing someone to Christ. You see, these missionaries are important. And we look at them as important. But I'm going to tell you this, and you need to get a hold of this. In this whole thing of missions, reaching people, getting the gospel to a lost and dying world, these missionaries are no more important than you are at Temple Baptist Church. This is a team effort. It's not a one-man show. They are doing what God has called them to do. But God has a plan for you right here. Just because he wants you to stay at Temple Baptist Church does not mean that you are not as important in every place these families are going as they are. You're equally important. You are a part of those four. So these people where they're going can get to Christ. And he can do something in their lives. And so the gospel does not make just an impact on the person's life that comes to Christ, but possibly the whole nation. Definitely the whole region. People are going to get saved. I'll guarantee you there are some rascals sitting here tonight. There are some folks sitting here tonight. You really are not interested in talking about what you were before you became what you are. Huh? And there are people that have watched God do what he's done in your life and they're amazed. They can't believe it. I was preaching, spent a lot of time in the Dominican Republic. We have a lot of missionaries there, a lot of churches started. I was down there on one trip, and on a Sunday night I went to a town called Bonao. About 70,000 people, just a sort of different town in the country. It had a Wild West flavor. But instead of horses, it was mopeds and motorbikes. I mean, they were just all over the place. And we had this fellow that surrendered, his couple surrendered to go to Bonao, Dominican Republic. They went down, started the church. I was there on a Sunday night. They had bought a house. They were meeting in a house. And so I preached on a Sunday night. And just a small room and good crowd there. And I was preaching on just surrendering your life to God and giving your life and serving him. Just preaching to Christians mostly there. And right in the middle of the message, this guy that was sitting on this side in the middle got up and started toward the back door. One way out, back door. And as he approached the back door, there was a fellow sitting on the back pew, or the seat in the back, and he got up and blocked the door and wouldn't let the guy out. They were just back and forth. Nobody's listening to me. I just had to stop and let them get through their confrontation. And finally, the guy came back, sat down. I finished the message, and I caught the missionary, and I said, what in the world was going on? He said, well, the man that got up and tried to get out is the town drunk. He said, the guy, and he didn't like what you were saying. The guy that wouldn't let him out knew he needed to hear what you were saying, and he wasn't going to let him get out of here without hearing it. I left and came back home, and I got a call a couple of months. A missionary called me. He said, hey, you remember that town drunk? I said, oh, yeah. He said he got saved. And I said, God has changed his life. He's just coming to church every service. And they bought a big 60-passenger yellow school bus, shipped it down to Dominican Republic, started running it through those in that town with all those mopeds and motorbikes picking up people. I went down about a year later. You know who was driving the bus? The town drunk. Now, I say that to say this. Don't you think there were some people in that town that said, what happened to him? Huh? Don't you think he had a family that said, God changed our dad. God changed my husband. That's what he's talking about here. Wouldn't you like to have been a part of that? Huh? Wouldn't you like to have supported that missionary so Jesus could say, because of your faith. He got saved. His life was changed. And people all around him looked and they were amazed. And they glorified God. That's what he's talking about here. You and I, this ought to cause you and I to say, God, don't let me miss my part. Amen. Don't let me miss being one that you can point to and say, because of his faith, you're saved. Life changed. Let me be what you need me to be. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye.